It's good to see you this morning. Those of you who are here, those of you who are watching online, sometimes you need to be reminded of that. I praise God because I needed to be reminded of that this morning, that he is, when he's on the throne, he's on the throne and he promises to do everything good. That's what you got to understand. Everything may not feel good. Everything may not be good in the moment, but he's working it out for my good. That's good news. Amen. You can't lose. When you're on his side, you can't lose. That's good to know today. Amen. Amen. I want to welcome you to Encounter Life. Those of you who are here in the building this morning, those of you who are watching online, we praise God to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be here. Good to see your faces this morning. It's good to, I'm glad that you can see my face if you're on screen. Let us know where you're watching. If this is your first time at Encounter Life, we're glad that you could join us this morning, whether here in person or online. And let us know in the chat that where you're watching from if you're online. Also, if you're new, we want to connect with you. You can do that by filling out our virtual connection card, whether you're in here or online. If you go to encounterchurch.net/next, that's a digital connection form. And just let us know. This is my first time here at Encounter Life where I'm returning guests. Let us know who you are so we can connect with you today. Amen. We praise God for what he is doing here at Encounter Life. One of the things that we want to let you guys know that I told you that we've had a camp that has been meeting here all summer long. Worldview Clubhouse. Worldview, it started by Worldview Christian Center and Worldview Clubhouse, founded by the Tolberts, and is run by Brother Gene Tolbert, his wife Kia Tolbert. They run an amazing camp from the little kids on up to teen camp, and they've been doing some great things. And a couple of weeks ago, week before last, not last week, but the week before that, our own David Nutt came to the teen camp, and Brother Gene asked him to come and do devotions with the teenagers. And DJ texts me, my son DJ texts me during the day, because DJ comes to teen camp and all of them. He said, Daddy, 10 people accepted Jesus Christ when David was here. Like almost 10 people came to receive Christ. So I pray, amen. Amen. I praise God for Brother David Nutt, who came out to talk to the teens and shared the good news and had an abundance of young people make decisions for Christ. So that's what it's all about. Amen. Enlarging the kingdom. And that's where you gotta start, where they're young. Amen. My mom used to say, the child evangelist would say, a child saved is a soul saved plus a whole life. And we praise God. Most people who come to Christ while they're children, before the age of 12 years old. They come to Christ as little children. So we need to put an emphasis on reaching our young people, reaching our children. So we praise God for that. That being said, I also want to let you know, coming up in August, this month, first of all, happy August, everybody. Any August birthdays this morning? If you're August birthday, amen. Congratulations to all of our August birthdays. We need to sing happy birthday to them. We can make, before we go, we'll sing a happy birthday to you. But on the 22nd, we're going to be doing another community day. That Sunday morning, we'll be doing a community day here at Encounter Life. And we're going to be doing a book bag drive. So we're going to be giving away book bags with supplies for the kids to get them ready back for school. So if you'd like to contribute to the book bag drive by donating a book bag or supplies, I have a link that I'm going to send out as a blast to school supply list for all grades, all the way from preschool all the way up to high school. It has a list of things that they're going to need for school this coming year. And we want to be praying for our teachers and praying for our students. Many of them are going to be going back in the building. And y'all see the Delta variant is jumping up and is causing some more restrictions to be in place. And so we're going to keep you posted how we're going to be conducting ourselves here at Encounter Life, because we want to make sure that we're not only in compliance, but we're loving our neighbor and taking care of everyone as well. Amen. So if we need to make any adjustments, we're going to be letting you guys know that going forward. Praise God. This morning, if you've got your Bible or your phone or your tablet, I want you to join me in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. And this morning, we're going to start a new series called Influencers, How Ordinary People Can Make an Extraordinary Impact. And we talk about influencers because we're in a day of social media. We're in a social media age. And now, you know, they call these people, a lot of times, people who are famous, who are social media stars, they're influencers. They get online and they It used to be that you had to be a celebrity. You know, you had to be on in Hollywood or in sports or in music. Now you can become a celebrity right from your own home because of your phone or your computer on Instagram, social, Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever it is. You can become a huge celebrity right from the privacy of your own home. And a lot of these people now have gotten humongous platforms, and they call them what? Influencers. And there are people who make decisions on life, decisions on relationships, based on an influencer from social media, and you don't really know what their life is like. There are people who are giving marriage advice, and their marriages are in shambles, because it's very easy to influence you behind the camera. It's very easy to influence you behind I can create a persona on social media. But what we want to do, we don't want to just be social media influencers. I believe that as people of God, he's called each of us to be influencers. All of us are called to be influencers. And the scripture is full, chock full of people who are influencers, who are ordinary people. The reason why I like it, because now the influencers we have are ordinary people. They have ordinary backgrounds who are making an impact in our world because of social media. But God wants you to make an eternal impact in people's lives. He's calling us to be an influencer. And today we're going to look at four keys to making a foundation for you to be successful, to be that influencer that God has called you to be. The four keys to that are foundational for you making the impact that God wants you as an ordinary person to make an extraordinary impact. God uses an old song by Danny Bell Hall. God uses ordinary people. People like you and me are willing to do what he commands. And that's what God is calling us to do. How many of y'all ready to be an influencer today? And we're going to look at these really quick, and I'm going to be out of your way. Can you pray with me? Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you have chosen to use men and women with feet of clay. God, people, Lord God, who with no necessary special skills, nothing that would cause people to be drawn to us at all, Lord God, you've chosen to use us. That, Lord, now that this treasure dwells in earthen vessels, that now you, the God of the universe, your spirit indwells us, and you have equipped us to influence people for the enlarging of your kingdom. And help us to surrender. Help us to say yes to your will and to your way. And, Lord God, and the whole purpose is not for us to get a whole lot of followers. The purpose is not to make our name famous, but to make your name famous. And to enlarge your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 through 27. And we're going to look, the first influencer we're going to look at is Moses. Moses was one of the biggest influencers in the scripture and in the Old Testament. And we're going to look at Moses and the key. We're going to get four keys from the life of Moses for us to have be successful in making the impact, to lay the foundation so that we can make the impact God would cause us to have. Hebrews 11, 23 through 27. This chapter is called the Hall of, a lot of people call it the Hall of Faith. Goes through many people, examples of great faith in the scripture. And it's so fitting that we look at this passage in Hebrews 11 based on Brother Al talked to us last week about dealing with fear. And the antidote to fear is faith. The antidote to fear is walking in faith. And Brother Al told us that one of the antidotes to fear is to know that you're connected to somebody who's bigger than you, somebody who's able to do something about all of the things that you are fearful of. And today we're going to look at an example of somebody who had that kind of faith, Moses. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. If you're going to be an influencer, you got to settle four key things. These are things that four key issues that Moses settled that all of us have to settle. And I can, and it's amazing. And I see it as a problem with so many people don't have these issues settled. The first issue is one of identity. You got to understand, if you want to be an influencer for God, if you want to make an extraordinary impact for God, you got to settle this issue of your identity. Who am I? Who am I? We see it today all the time. People are on social media trying to be somebody that they're not. And some of us, we can get locked in and watching what's going on in social media, and we try to duplicate it. God said, no, listen, but you got to stay in your lane. You got to understand who I created you to be. And in order for you to have an impact, you got to understand, get the issue of identity settled. That's in verse 24. Look at verse 24. What does he say here in verse 24? He says, by faith, Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had to settle the issue of identity. But not only that, you also have to settle the issue of responsibility. What am I going to do with my life? You got to understand who you are, your identity, but the second issue you got to get settled is responsibility. What am I going to do with my life? What is God going to call me to do with my life? You see that Moses settled that in verse 25. But also the third thing is one, an issue of priority. What is the most important thing in life? What is the most important thing in life? You have to settle that issue. And then finally, the fourth key issue is one of difficulty. How much am I willing to commit to what I'm going to give my life for? These four issues, if you want to make an impact in anything, you got to get these four issues settled. And Moses settled these issues. Here are the foundations, those four foundations based on those four key issues that Moses settled. Look at number one. In order for the identity question, you must discover what God made you to be. Discover who and what God made you to be. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the gifts that God has given us. We were talking about how we're better together, and God has equipped all of us with gifts. What you got to understand is what your gift is different than what my gift is. And what your abilities are different than my abilities. And I'm wasting my time looking at you envying that I have what you have when God said, no, spend all your time discovering what I made you to be. Because nobody can be, you are unique. You are God's original masterpiece, Ephesians. You're God's, you are his workmanship. He has fashioned you. Psalm 139, he's created you and shaped you. Discover what God meant you to be. So many people waste all of their life chasing after, trying to be somebody that God never designed them to be. And do you know that's a frustrating place to be? Anybody ever been there when in your life, it was a point in your life where you were trying to be somebody you were not, and it just caused you, it ties you up in knots. Until you discover that God, who God called you to be, you'll never make the impact. Because that's where the passion comes from. When you're operating in your sweet spot. Discover what God made me to be. Look at verse 24, going back to it. It says, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, some of you all may know the story, some of you may not, but the story is of Moses. Moses, when he was born, there was going on right in Egypt, the children of Israel, Moses was an Israelite. And the children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt. And they were growing, they were in captivity in Egypt, and they were multiplying. And the Egyptians were getting nervous and said, listen, these people are going to outnumber us and overtake us. That sounds familiar. That's a whole nother issue. They're going to outnumber us. These people are going to outnumber us and overtake us. So what we're going to do, we're going to say, any boy that is born, we got to kill all the boys. We got to kill them. And so Moses' parents, they feared God. Moses was born. They hid him, put him in the water. And what happened is that the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, the ruler of Egypt, his daughter found this baby in the water, and she took him in as her own, even though he was a Hebrew child. And she took Moses in as her own, and she raised him. And this is the beauty of God, the sovereignty of God. God, listen, she took Moses in, but chose Moses' own mom to raise him, not even knowing that was his mother.
shows you how God orchestrates the situations in your life. Well, Moses was raised up, though he was a Hebrew child, who were the people who were in bondage, he was raised up as an Egyptian, which means he was in the line of royalty. I'm here to tell you that though Moses was raised up in the king's house, he never lost sight of who he really was. He was raised up in an Egyptian household, but he knew that who the real God was. He knew who the real king was. He never lost sight of who he was. And I'm here to tell you today that if you're going to be successful, Moses had to come to a point. He had a crisis of identity at some point. He had to come to a point where he had to stand with his own people. He had to be who he was. And today, if you want to be an influencer, you got to discover what God made you to be. Sometimes that could be a painful thing. Moses had, it was painful. He was trying to act Egyptian, but he's really Hebrew. And he saw his people suffering, and it was causing him to ache till he got to the point where he couldn't take it anymore. And today, you got to be like Moses. You got to discover who God made you to be. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop trying to be somebody else. Listen, that's a word from the pulpit to the pew to the chair, because you see it all the time, even as a pastor. You see, listen, it's so easy for us as leaders and pastors to try to model our ministry after somebody else's ministry, to try to model your preaching style after somebody else's preaching style. God has created me unique. He's created me different. And when my lane is different than somebody else's lane. So look, do not measure your success by somebody else's success. You got to discover what God has called you to be and stay there. If you want to be an influencer, why is this important? Because there's somebody who's designed, who's similar to you, who needs to hear your voice. Who needs to see you go through your go-through? Because there's somebody waiting on you. It's bigger than you. Somebody say it's bigger than you. If you want to be an influencer, you got to settle the issue of identity. You have to discover who God has called you to be. But not only once you discover who God has called you to be, you have to decide to take responsibility for your own life. You must decide to take responsibility for your own life. Look at verse 25. Moses chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. Look what it say. Moses did what? He made a choice. You must decide to take responsibility for your own life. What Moses did, Moses could have said, I'm just going to keep acting Egyptian. But Moses chose, he made a choice, and I'm here to tell you, if you want to make an impact, you have to decide to take responsibility for what goes on in your life. Sometimes you cannot control the circumstances. Moses had no control of his mom putting him in that basket and sending him down the river. He had no control over the Pharaoh's daughter taking him in. He had no control of that. Sometimes in your life, you have no control of what happens to you, but you have all the control of how you respond to it. You might be in a situation right now that had nothing to do with you, but God said, how are you going? You're going to take responsibility for how you respond. If you want to make an impact, you got to take responsibility. Listen, these are three facts of life that Moses had to understand. You got to understand. Number one, you cannot live off of somebody else's spiritual commitment. You got to take responsibility for yourself. Listen, I could not live off of Pastor Max Jesus. I couldn't live off of Sister Dolores' Jesus. I had to have my own commitment. You can't live off of somebody else's spiritual commitment. You can't ride on nobody else's spiritual coattails. You got to go and get that for yourself. I'm here to tell you, sometimes we do that in church. It's very easy. We have this fast food theology kind of way that we do it. We like to come to church and be able to get our fill. And God said, no, you got to go and get it for yourself. Your relationship with God is based on the time that you got to put in. You got to go and get it for yourself. You cannot live off of somebody else's spiritual commitment. But not only that, listen, you can't blame anybody else for the direction of your life. You cannot blame anybody else for the direction of your life. If such and such hadn't done this, and such and such hadn't done that, yeah, that's fine. But what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Moses could have sat and said, man, I just,
you know what, man, my mom and I didn't have a good circumstance, and so you can stay stuck. There are people right now who are not making the impact that they could because they're so busy looking on back on what happened to them and not making the changes. Yeah, you may have been, listen, I'm telling you right now, I'm not minimizing it. You may have been a victim of abuse. You may have had a bad marriage. You may have had parents that walked out on you, and that is true. And I'm telling you, there's help for that. God wants to help you through that, but there comes to a point where you got to say, you know what? God is calling me. He allowed me to go through some things because why? He wants to use me as a vessel to impact somebody else's life. And if I stay here, and if I allow that to consume me, listen, I can't be all that God has called me to be. Am I minimizing what's happened to you? No, you need to get help for that. There's some things that you need to be connected with people to help you through. But part of that, that's part of the process to you becoming what God wants you to be. You cannot blame others for everything. You can't blame others for the direction of your life. We make choices. Moses, if I said Abraham, I don't know why I do that sometimes. Did I say Abraham earlier? Good. Moses made a choice. Three facts of life. Fact number one, I can't live off of other people's spiritual commitment. Fact number two, I can't blame others for the direction of my life. Stop playing the blame game. I would be doing better if such and such. No. You can make a choice. Make a choice today. Stop blaming somebody else. You can make a decision to walk in what God has called you to walk in right now. Amen? And the third fact of life is no one can ruin my life except for me. If you want to stay down there, it kind of reminds me, always reminds me of the prodigal son. He made bad decisions. He made bad decisions. He ruined his life, but he did make a decision. He made a choice. He came to himself. Today, God is calling you to come to yourself. He came to himself and went back to the Father's house. We come to yourself, come back to the Father's house. Today, the identity issue, you got to settle that one of identity. Who has God called me to be? The responsibility issue, you must make a decision to take responsibility for your own life. But the third thing you got to deal with is one of priority. Determine what's important in your life. In other words, you must establish a value system for your life. Establish a value system for your life. Look at what Moses did. In verse 26, it said, Moses thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. Look at his value system. He established what was most important. He said, I'd rather suffer for the sake of Christ than have all the treasures of this palace. Why? Because he's looking to a greater reward. What's your value system? You know, I was driving, was it yesterday? And I was just certain, you know, we were looking at, I was driving through and looking at homes. And I was like, man, that's a nice house. It's a beautiful house. And I started thinking, say, Dwayne, where's your value system? Because all of this stuff is going to pass away. What is your value system? And see, what your value system, that's going to determine the last point, because when a lot of us, we can tell our value system by what we spend our money on. Where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is. Amen? And I'm saying this is a convicting thing, because sometimes, you know, I look around, I just moved. and it's convicting for me who just moved. Because I said, Lord, you got too much stuff. All of this stuff. I mean, we just moved, and I mean, it's overwhelming. Because we moved from a house that was five bedrooms to a townhome. And I looked, opened that garage, and there's boxes everywhere. Stuff that I may not even, if I don't open the box in a year, I probably wouldn't even miss it. And what it's telling me, Dwayne, where is your value system? But sometimes we accumulate things and we confuse our things. We confuse our needs with our wants. And so much in this world that we live, especially in this country, where we have so much. We have so much excess. Oh, I need this, my children. Daddy, I need this, I need that. No, you don't. Daddy, I'm hungry. Well, go listen, this is a good one. I'm hungry. Go get some cereal. I don't want cereal. Well, you ain't hungry.
You're not hungry. I'm starving. Listen, we got this. I don't want that. It's funny. The other day, 2 days ago, we're going to go home. We're on our way home. I was like, Daddy, we're going to stop and get something to eat. No, this barbecue chicken. We ate that again? Do you know there's somebody somewhere who will eat barbecue chicken 365 days of the year? Value system. They crying because they ate chicken 2 days in a row. Right? Because we have a, listen, we our value system is off. You got to say, listen, we determine what's most important. The kingdom agenda, he says, Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and guess what? All of these things will be added to you. Too often we're seeking after the all of these things. And God said, listen, if I take care of the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, won't I take care of you? If I know when one sparrow falls to the ground, won't I take care of you who I formed from the dust of the ground and breathed into him my very breath? I'll take care of you if you just put me first. Moses said, listen, if putting him first means I got to suffer, I'd rather do that than have all the treasures of Egypt. Is that what your value system looks like? Listen, because when you have that as your value system, it says those who live godly in Christ will suffer. See, when I adjust my value system from the world's value system, sometimes it's going to cause me some temporary discomfort. I have to give up some of the amenities sometimes. Sometimes I got to have my heart willing to say, God, if you tell me to give it all away, I'm willing to give it all away. Will he ask you to give it up? Sometimes he will, sometimes he won't. But guess what? It's like Job. Listen, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can you have that value system? Determine what's most important for your life. Job showed the devil. Devil said, listen, that God said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, it's because he got so much stuff. You blessed him so much. And God showed the devil that Job's heart was for God more than anything. Took all of his stuff. But not only did he take his stuff, he took his health. Not only did he take his health, you can take my health, but take my babies. Took his own children. And he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What's important to you? If you want to make an impact for God, God uses people who've got that kind of heart, that kind of value system. Look at Moses' value system. God's purpose is more value than popularity. God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. That's got to be the value. That was Moses' value system. He said, what God wants me to do exceeds popularity. That's so big right now. People are so eager to be popular. I mean, they spend so much time on social media. It's a full-time job. My sister was the other day, said, man, you need to get on Twitter more often. You got so many good things to say. I said, girl, that's a full-time job. She said, listen, man, every time you put a little video up, I love it. I said, yeah, but you know what? If I stay on there all day, there's something else I'm not doing. I'm not so concerned about being popular. People want to be popular more than walking in purpose. But Moses said, God's purpose is more valuable than popularity. He said, people are more valuable than pleasures. I don't like it. Moses couldn't stand it when his people were in a being oppressed. When he saw his people his being abused, he couldn't take it. They're more valuable than pleasures. But also, Moses said, listen, look at that. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. And God's peace is more valuable than possessions. Isn't that great peace have those who love your Lord? You know what? He keeps him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. When you got the right value system, he gives you peace. He can give you peace even when you don't have possessions. When you don't have money in the pocket, when you don't know what's going on, how you're going to pay the bill. How many have ever seen God do that? You've been in a situation of extreme lack. And it's like dryness, but God has given you a peace that passes understanding. That's what he's able to do. Why? Because I can't do nothing about it. I'm going to lean into the one who can. Peace is more valuable than possessions. We looked at, it says he was looking ahead to his what? greater reward. That's why he had a great peace. And then the final thing, we said, number one, what we got to do, you got to discover who God made you to be. You got to discover who God made you to be. You got to decide to take responsibility for your own actions. You got to establish a value system for your life. You got to determine what's important. But the fourth D is don't take your eyes off the goal. Don't take your eyes off the goal. What does it say? The second part of verse 27. Moses kept right on going. Why? Because he kept his eyes on the one who's invisible. I love that. He kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It's great because if you go back in the same chapter, he says faith, in the very first verse of chapter 11, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things that we cannot see. He says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then it says in verse 27, he kept his eyes on the one he couldn't see. You see the play on words? He's looking. He kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. God is calling you today. He said, listen, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. If you want to have an impact, you can't look to the right or to the left. You got to keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your eyes focused on the goal. And what's the goal? Is the goal to make an impact? The goal is for him to get glory. The goal is to get him to go. You got to keep your eyes on the goal. The goal is for God to be glorified. Is the goal for the church to, for us to have a bigger church? No, the goal is for God to be glorified. He's the goal. That's what you got to keep your eyes on. Every day you wake up in the morning, you say, God, help me to not get distracted. We live in a world full of distractions. There's so many things that are distracting us all the time. Some, you got to turn off your TV every now and then. You got to put your phone down every now and then. Turn off the notifications. Turn off the radio. Spend time in his presence. Because what the devil, listen, I said it before, the devil is in the distractions. And what God wants you to do, if you want to make an impact for him, just think about anything. How many of y'all been watching the Olympics? Anybody been watching the Olympics? I love it. I love watching the Olympics. The Olympics make you watch sports that you never watched, something I've never been interested in. Anybody been watching sports that they never, I wouldn't watch a beach volleyball game while I was at the beach. And so you're watching it now because it's the Olympics. But what I love, my stuff that I love the most, I love track and field. I love track and field. And one of the things about track and field, man, if you wanna win, you gotta keep your eyes focused. You gotta keep your eyes focused on the goal. As soon as you look to the left or the right, you slow down. You slow down. And not only in the race do you gotta keep your eyes focused, I applaud all of them who've trained so hard to get to this point. Do you know how many distractions that they've had to lay aside so that they can become Olympians? Forget winning the medal just to get to the Olympics. You gotta stay focused on the goal. If you wanna make an impact today, you gotta stay focused, keep focused on God. And how do you keep focused on God? You gotta focus on his word. How do you focus on God? Because he kept his eyes on one who's invisible. But you know what I was reading the other day? That said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And then you go down to verse 14, it said, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. How do you keep focus on the one who's invisible? Focus on his Word. And all of the stuff that is around you, it's an effort for the enemy to keep you away from his Word. I told my children the other day, we're doing devotion, if the devil can keep you away from his word, then you got nothing to draw on. You got nothing you can focus on. You're going to focus on your flesh. Get in the word of God. And then when you do that, you know what? God will bring his word to remembrance. That's what you quote back to the enemy. He honors his word. And then you can make an impact. You can be an influencer, an ordinary person that makes an extraordinary impact. Why? Because I'm not telling you what I know. I'm just speaking what the Word of God says. This is the most influential book on the planet. If you haven't noticed it already, listen, I used to be in network marketing, and we would go to all of these professional development conferences, and the most quoted book by a lot of these professional development experts who do not claim to be Christians is the Bible. The Bible. And they'll tell you the Bible. They're quoting scripture, and they'll convince you that they say, some of them don't even know the Lord. But why? It works. It's truth. So if you want, listen, if I got him in me, he's sitting here, you're sitting on some serious influence. All you got to do is get in it. Today, God is calling you to make an extraordinary impact in this world. Why? Because we're in a world that is perishing. This world is going to pass away. We didn't come here to stay. But in order for you to make an impact, you got to first decide, understand who you are. Number one, God made you in his image. He created you in his image and his likeness. You got to understand that first, but also how he made you uniquely. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop trying to be somebody you're not. That's why you're so frustrated. That's why you're not making an impact, because you're too busy modeling yourself and what you're doing after somebody else. Discover who God called you to be. Walk in it. And then you got to make a decision to take responsibility for your own life. Stop blaming somebody else for your own circumstances. You got to make a decision like Moses. He chose. He made a choice to say, listen, I'm going to do this. God is calling you to make a choice today. Establish the right priorities. Determine what's important. Look around you like I had to do. Say, look, man, I might have too much stuff. My priorities might be off. And ask God, look, you need to ask him, God, work on my heart. Work in me. I love it. God is able to work in you the will and the do of his pleasure. Sometimes I may have my priorities are off. And do you know that sometimes I don't want my priorities to be right? Anybody? Be honest? Sometimes I like the stuff. And I got to ask God, let my heart your desires, my desires your desires. Ask him to do it. And then not only that, once you get your priorities right, then what is our last thing that we got to do? Don't take your eyes off the goal. Stay focused. Keep your eyes on the prize. And he is the prize. How do I keep my eyes on the prize? Daily, every single day, spend time with him in his word. Spend time in personal worship, reminding yourself of what he's called you to do. And watch you make an impact. Watch you impact people's lives. And guess what? The key about making an extraordinary impact, it may not get broadcast all over the internet. Everybody may not know about it. There was no social media in Moses' time, but guess what? So many people know about Moses right now. And it wasn't because he was looking for an audience. He wasn't looking for a platform. He was just trying to walk in purpose. Stop seeking a platform. Walk in God's purpose. And guess what? He will promote you. The God who sees in secret will reward you openly. Amen? Can you all stand with me as we close? Amen. Influencers. Ordinary people who can make an extraordinary impact. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, for the influence. Lord God, for the greatest influencer. We thank you for Jesus. Lord God, that you, the word that became flesh to dwell among us. We thank you, Lord God, that you loved us enough to send the gift of your son to redeem us, to save us, to bring us back, make a right relationship with you possible. We're grateful for that today. And having done that, now, Lord God, those who have put their faith and trust in you, now you have given to us this message of reconciliation. You've given us the message of influence. You're calling us to go out and as ordinary people, God, people, men and women with feet of clay, to go out and influence the world, not to give our name glory, but to give your name glory, to draw men and women to you. Help us, Lord God, but show us who you've designed us and created us to be. To understand that you've made us special, Lord God, and you've placed in each of us gifts and talents and abilities that you want to use. Forgive me, God. Forgive us for when we have tried to model our lives and try to compare ourselves with others and try to be somebody we're not. Help us to be authentic with who you've made us to be.
And for those of us who are here, God, or who are unclear about who that is, God, show us. Open the eyes of our hearts so we can see. Show us, God, what it is you've called us to do. And God, forgive us when we've played the blame game. Lord, we've all had bad circumstances, Lord God, in our life, some that we cannot control. But Lord, today you've shown us that we can control how we respond. Help us not to rely on our flesh, but to lean on your power, that your strength is made perfect in our weakness. We thank you, God. We thank you for that. So today we take responsibility from this day forward, God. We will not blame our parents. We will not blame our grandparents. I will not blame my ex-husband, my ex-wife, my employer, whoever did something wrong to me. From this day forward, God, we choose to take responsibility from where we go from this point forward. Because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So we thank you now as we take responsibility. And God, we come to give to you all of the stuff. Forgive us for when we've held tight to the treasures of this world. God, we come to, Lord, open our hands to relinquish all of the things, Lord God, and to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and trust you to add all these things that we need. Lord, help us to understand the difference between needs and wants today, in the name of Jesus. And in the midst of all of the distractions of this world, God, in the midst of all of the confusion that is going on, help us not to take our eyes off the prize. Help us to continue to focus on you. Drive us to our knees. Drive us to our face. Drive us into your word. Show us who you are. We praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Now today, Lord, if there's somebody here who's never entered into a relationship with you the first time, pray that you'll move in their hearts this morning. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Christ as Lord of your life, we want to give you an opportunity to do that. He wants to use you as an influencer, but in order for you to be the kind of influencer he wants you to be, first, he has to indwell you. Because he wants to make an influence through his power, not your own. And in order for that to happen, he can't indwell you like we are, because we're all sinners. You see, God cannot tolerate sin. He and sin can't exist in the same place. So what God had to do is, listen, he wants to dwell with you, but because he's perfect and we're not, he had to make a decision. And he made a decision to say, listen, I'm going to give to you my perfection by sending my son. Because all of our sin has to be paid for. Sin must be paid for with blood sacrifice. And God said, I will send a gift of myself. I'll put on human flesh, become a man with blood running through my veins, and I will never sin so that I could qualify and to satisfy my own justice. I will come to this world, live. I'm going to go through temptation just like you go through. And I'm not going to sin so that I can die to pay the sacrifice for everybody's sins. And if you want to receive my perfection, if you want to receive my righteousness so that I can come and dwell with you and make you an influencer, first you got to admit to me that you are a sinner. You got to admit to me that you're not perfect. You got to believe that I sent my son Jesus Christ to die for you. You got to believe that he was buried and that he rose again. And you must make a choice to invite him into your life, forgive you of all of your sins, be your substitute, make you who he wants you to be. If you've never made that decision to admit to God that you're a sinner, to believe he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for you, that he was buried and rose again, and to choose him as Savior and Lord of your life, I invite you to choose him today. I'm going to pray a simple prayer of invitation. And if you'd like to invite Christ as Lord of your life, won't you pray this after me? Just say this simply. Dear God, thank you for loving me just like I am. I admit that I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to die for me. I believe he was buried and he rose again. Today, I invite you into my life to forgive me of all of my sins, past, present, and future.
make me who you want me to be. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're here, if you're watching, if you prayed that prayer, congratulations. Now, this is what he said. Listen, he said, now, if you meant that, I will give you eternal life and you'll never perish. His spirit indwells you. Now you can make influence. I want to encourage you and show you some steps to make next. So if you did that, could you please let me know? If you're in this building and you pray that prayer, come see me. I will stay right here. If you're home and you pray that prayer, let it know in the chat and ask, listen, you request prayer. Say, listen, I prayed that prayer today. Or you can go right to that connection form that I referenced earlier, encounterchurch.net/next. It's the form that says, I accepted Christ as Lord. You can say that. You can indicate that. That'll send an email to me and others, and we can contact you. Amen? Amen. Y'all ready to make an influence? Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. You may have your seat. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, before we close, we're going to give us our opportunities. Now's our time to give. Usually what we're going to do, we're going to have the table at the back for offering. We're trying to keep from passing plates and everything. For COVID, we want to give you an opportunity. So what we're going to do, brothers are coming to give an offering envelope if you need it. And what you can do on your way out, as we exit the sanctuary, there should be a table back there with the basket in it. And you can drop your offering in the basket. If you are an electronic giver, you can give electronically right on the website at encounterchurch.net. The give tab, you can give also by Cash App, $Encounter Life. You can also text the word give to 301-804-2520. 301-804-2520. You can text the word give, and it'll send you a link on how you can give electronically that way as well. Amen? Amen. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give us an opportunity to before we exit, Brother Jamal coming back. Oh, there we go. Okay, Brother Jamal, they're going to come back, and they are going to praise us out of here. Amen? Amen. Just wanted to remind you guys, August the 22nd, we have, don't forget about the Community Day that is coming up. Oh, yes, yes. Okay, also, in your giving, could you remember, continue to give for the family that lost the three little ones here in Hillcrest to the fire. Last week, we started giving for that. We want to send a special gift to that family. Some of you who do know, if you're coming down Iverson Street, you see the house there that is burned down, and it has all of the balloons in front of it. Three little girls, 1, 6, and 9, lost their lives in that fire 2 weeks ago. So we want to give to that family, continue to give to that family. So please, you can indicate on your gift that it's for the little girls, for the children, so that we can make sure that those funds go to them. Amen? With that being said, I'm going to turn it over. Thank you all for coming and worshiping with us today. Praise God. Thank you for coming at home and Encounter Life. We look forward to seeing you next week. Amen? Amen. Praise God.